The Israel Report with Rolly Marks.
For the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Howard, I'm envious. I also want to stroll along the promenade in Umhlanga.
All right, but you can actually you can get to the promenade a lot easier than I can in Israel, can't you? We were just chatting to
them.
We were just chatting to the Israeli ambassador, the outgoing Israeli ambassador, and he was saying that's one thing he's looking forward to is getting back to Israel and putting on his sandalim and going for a walk along the beach.
There's nothing quite like it. And actually, one of my favorite walks is the Namal to Namal, the Namal, the port to the Jaffa port. It's the best walk ever.
It's
some serious
true.
Exercise.
I was just going to say, it's quite far. How many kilometers is that?
It's a significant amount of kilometers. And there are a few people I know who are listening who are rolling their eyes saying, you broke us when we came to Israel and made us do that walk, bro.
Well, in fact, the last time I was there, we were doing that. And what we decided to do, being very lazy, was you can actually hire bicycles and you can pick it up at the one part and drop it back at the other. And that's the most incredible thing to do.
What can I say? Super organized we are.
Absolutely. Rabbi Lau has ordered an investigation into the list of so-called blacklisted rabbis. We had one of our own here, and the chief rabbi's office as well as the Beth Din is completely flummoxed. They're completely perplexed by why one of our guys here would be on that list. Does anybody understand how this list was put together?
Well, the theory being batted around, and we actually spoke about it yesterday, is that it is perhaps opportunistic on the part of some rabbonim within the rabbinut to take advantage of the current climate where there is a tremendous amount of upheaval around the conversion laws and around the kotel and put forth this list. Rabbi Lau, the chief Ashkenazi rabbi himself, not being aware of the list and now being made aware of the humiliation and the hurt that such a list has caused, and is now ordering an investigation into what precipitated this kind of list.
And hopefully maybe the positive that'll come out of this is that the rabbinate will realize that they actually have to be a little bit more cautious. I actually find it incredible, because you would think that coming from a religious source, and I know that when I was involved at the Jewish Report here, and certainly on this radio station, we are so careful before we mention people's names, because it can do damage. And yet here the highest rabbinic or religious body in Israel is just sending out a list of 160 or however many names of other of rabbis and people that they just don't like or don't value or something.
Absolutely. And not only this, is that they can seriously hurt their careers. And also it causes a tremendous amount of hurt to the people who perhaps have converted or been married by these rabbis, who now wonder, is their conversion or their marriage legal or legitimate, or being called into question. So the knock-on effect of this kind of blacklisting has been tremendous.
Unbelievable. I'm absolutely appalled. I cannot believe the rabbinate is not – that we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. It absolutely appalls me. And, I know it's politically incorrect to say it, but I'm absolutely disgusted with this type of behavior. The UAE to Al Jazeera, this I actually – Are you sure you got this right? The UAE said to Al Jazeera that you are anti-Semitic and you support terror.
How would it get better? Now, it's no secret that my birthday is April the 1st. Since we are in the middle of July, I figured this can't be an April Fool's joke and it can't be a jokey birthday present to me. Mm-hmm. And I really had to read this twice. But what has transpired, and I don't know if it's smart politicking on behalf of the UAE or we're going to see some major overtures being made towards Israel and the Jewish people, but the story behind this is that in a letter which has been made public by the United Arab Emirates Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation on their website yesterday, the Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, I mean, it's a big mouthful. His name is Anwar Gargash. He has accused the Qatar-based television news outlet Al Jazeera of promoting anti-Semitism and supporting terrorist groups and incitement to violence. I mean, it couldn't be like more out of the playbook of Israel if we tried.
Incredible. Absolutely. We are living in the strangest times.
But
yes.
It gets better.
Oh, good.
It gets better. This four-page letter has been addressed to, can I have a drum roll?
Wait, hold on. I've got one specially. Hold on. Keep talking before the drum roll.
Okay.
Yes.
So this four-page letter has been addressed to... the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein. And this is... I know, right?
It's the studio audience. I can't help it. I didn't tell them I wanted them to clap. It was spontaneous applause.
Well, that was my reaction today after reading this. And this is as a rebuttal to the UN Special Rapporteur's statement on June the 30th that the demands to close Al Jazeera network are against the freedom of expression. So in this letter, Gargash goes on to say that freedom of expression cannot be used to justify and shield the promotion of extremist narratives. It is the international community's responsibility to remain vigilant as the media and new technologies are being exploited by terrorists and their supporters to disseminate extremist ideologies, as well as mobilizing, recruiting, inspiring followers, and raising funding. Now, I know that is a direct stab at Iran, who is Qatar's major friend right now, seeing that the state is being isolated by other Gulf states and other states in the region, and that Iran is the major world sponsor of terrorism. But there's more. I mean, just when you didn't think there was, couldn't be more, there's more. He has said, Al Jazeera is a platform for spreading terrorist ideology by conducting interviews with leaders of various terror organizations such as Osama bin Laden. I mean, we all know from Al-Qaeda. In fact, that interview is what put Al Jazeera on the map. And Anwar al-Awlaki of Al-Qaeda, Khaled Mashal, who of course we know is Hamas, Muhammad Daif of Hamas, and Hassan Nasrallah of Hezbollah. And he also says that Al Jazeera promotes anti-Semitic violence in its programming, citing an example where the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader Yusuf al-Qaradawi, in one of his sermons on the network, described the Holocaust as divine punishment during which Hitler put the Jews in their place. Mm. So I don't know if he's been consulting with Avigdor Lieberman or what the deal is, but this is good news for us.
Just to be clear, is this all of Al Jazeera or Al Jazeera only in Arabic?
It doesn't say anything else except that it's just to Al Jazeera.
Because what I found so interesting is that Al Jazeera in English spends so much time and effort and energy trying to look and feel like BBC. So and many of the presenters one wouldn't think are so virulently anti-Semitic, and yet by this with this type of comment, they are really doing themselves a great disservice from a career perspective.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what we have now is growing isolation around Qatar. In fact, we've had not just the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain and Egypt cutting off ties, but also Yemen and the Maldives. And this also comes coincidentally very, very soon after reports that Israel is considering shutting down Al Jazeera's Jerusalem office. So I don't I don't know if the net is closing. It is quite incredible.
And the most amazing thing for me is of course those of us that are involved with Israel advocacy in one way or another have been talking about the fact that Al Jazeera is a very biased and agenda-driven organization, but it's obviously hasn't been heard because it's coming from an area of other non-bias, I guess. Whereas now it's bound to be taken more seriously.
Absolutely, and you know what is very interesting to me is if you do watch these major news networks, Qatar Airways is a big sponsor of advertising, and I want to see what will happen if such a major advertiser pulls its funding. What happens to the programming? Because it's no coincidence, I think, that these news networks do sometimes, in essence, pander to their advertisers, what we will see happening in the future.
Well, I see that one of the American Airlines pulled their code share agreement today, in fact, with Qatar Airlines. I saw that was interesting. The other thing I thought that was interesting was Qatar Airlines have, since this isolation attempt, have launched an ad campaign talking about the value of travel and not judging people and uniting the world through travel. And it's actually a beautiful, beautiful advert until you think, hold on a minute. If an Israeli or if a Jew with a stamp in the Israeli passport wants to visit Qatar, well, then those rules don't apply. And here's this whole marketing campaign to try and get Qatar Airways the travel bans from Qatar and into Qatar lifted, but it's done, of course, if you look at it through Israel's eyes, it has there's a real irony there.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the net is closing around Qatar, and I think that if this carries on, they are going to have to make a choice between who they support, the other powers in the region, or if they're going to carry on schmoozing with Iran, who are providing them with a whole lot of funding, as well as more frequent travel routes. I mean, there's no discrimination there. Then there's that whole birds of a feather thing.
Tell me about Ben Gurion Airport. Sasha was reporting this in the news, voted eighth best in the world. That's awesome.
Yes, don't we think? So our airport, which I was at earlier this week after my visit with you, it has been voted the eighth best in the world. I think that is quite a nice prize for Ben Gurion Airport, especially since we are so close off El Al being ranked one of the worst airlines in the world, or actually not the worst airlines, but the one that contravenes green rules by Heathrow Airport.
That is really, really awesome. Finally, the father of a son held captive by Hamas said, "Do not negotiate with them. They would. They must uphold Islamic and international law." Tell us about the story.
Well, this is an interesting story. There are two Bedouin Israelis who are believed to be held captive by Hamas, and this is in addition to the bodies of Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, as well as a young Ethiopian citizen whose name is Avraham Mengistu, and the father of one of the Bedouin who actually wandered into Gaza by mistake, and their names are Hisham al-Sayed and Juma Abu Ghanima. They crossed into Gaza exactly a year ago. They haven't had the amount of attention as, say, Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden, perhaps because it's different circumstances. And the father of al-Sayed, his name is Sha'aban al-Sayed, says that Israel must not negotiate. He prefers that we don't negotiate with Hamas, but rather that people and especially the international community should pressure Hamas and explain that they need to return a sick civilian, he's not a soldier, and that it is forbidden under not just international law, it's also forbidden under Islamic law. Islam does not permit the taking of hostages. And he has appealed to Hamas saying, if you are a Muslim, send him to freedom, let him be free.
Incredible. That is a very, very powerful and very, very moving plea, I think.
I think it is. I mean, we heard earlier this week from the families of Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul. Not only have they met with Jason Greenblatt, who is the special envoy to the Middle East and has been in the country this last week. In fact, there's a story, if we've got time, that I want to touch on before we go, but has also said that perhaps it is time to start being a lot more stringent on that humanitarian aid, etc., that goes into Gaza. And I think that this is a family who really are desperate to get the body of their son returned so that he can have a humane and decent burial.
Sure. Tell us this. Tell us what you wanted to touch on.
Okay, so what I do want to touch on while we're talking about Jason Greenblatt being in the country, and he has announced a tremendous deal. It's called the Red Dead Water Project. And basically what this is an Israeli-Palestinian water deal that will see the construction of a nearly 200-kilometer pipeline from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea and a desalination plant in Aqaba. And what this will do is not only will it increase the amount of water supply to the West Bank and to Jordan, but also will help with the Dead Sea's falling water levels. So this is quite incredible. Minister for Regional Cooperation, Tsachi Hanegbi, has said that it will take possibly another 4 to 5 years to complete this $900 million endeavor. But this is a very, very positive move
incredible.
Indeed, especially for the region.
Absolutely. And on that positive note, Rolene Marks, there, we're going to leave it. You have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom. And I hope that you can recover from your trip. I know it was a very big trip, a very grueling trip. So with Shabbat coming up, you can switch off, kick back, and just relax.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my Whiskey Thursday whiskey.
Excellent.
And yeshe koach and kol hakavod to the outgoing ambassador, Ambassador Arthur Link, who has been tremendous. For South Africa and for Israel. And Shabbat Shalom, Howard, to you and all the listeners on Chai FM.
Absolutely. And everybody will be lucky enough to hear you next week. I won't be here, but I'll be back Monday following. You have a fantastic